Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining the NMSS Cognitive Fitness Keep the Mind Moving conference call. Your moderator for today, Shanna McCabe, will now begin.
Hi, and good evening. This is Shanna McCabe from the National MS Society, and I would like to welcome you to tonight's teleconference, Cognitive Fitness, Memory, Attention, and Executive Skills. Our speaker tonight is Nancy Lowenstein, occupational therapist and clinical associate professor at Boston University College of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences at Sargent College. Nancy has been deeply involved with the National MS Society for many years as a volunteer and through the MS Clinical Care Center where she worked. Nancy sits on the Chapter Programs Advisory Council, facilitates a variety of educational programs for people with MS, and was inducted into the National Volunteer Hall of Fame. Most recently, she facilitated the Free From Falls program and mentors others who facilitate programs for the society. Tonight, Nancy will discuss cognitive issues in MS and provide some tools to help focus our attention, improve memory, planning, and problem-solving skills. Participants will have an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. The operator will instruct you how to do this when it is time. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Nancy. I will now turn the call over to you.
Thank you, Shanna, and I want to thank the Greater New England Chapter of the MS Society for inviting me to present this teleconference tonight. We'll be using the workbook that was sent to you earlier, so please make sure that you have this handy, as we will be referring to it throughout the teleconference. These modules are part of the Cognitive Fitness program that was developed by the National MS Society and the Southern California Chapter. It's based on the most current evidence for compensation and remediation of cognitive issues for individuals with MS. Tonight, I will be discussing three of the most common cognitive issues that you might be experiencing. These are, one, attention, the ability to concentrate and focus on a task or on multiple tasks at once. Number two would be memory. This is a complex process of receiving, storing, and recalling various types of information. And number three, we'll be discussing executive skills. This is a broad term referring to skills such as problem solving, sequencing, and organization of thoughts. You also have a list of resources, and I recommend that you access these resources after tonight, as it may be difficult to remember all that we talk about, and they also have additional ideas and help for you. It might be helpful if you have a pen or a pencil in hand, and feel free to take notes on your materials, or even have someone else help listen in on the teleconference and take notes for you. I always say that more ears that hear the material, the more likely it is that you're learning new skills. And if you're listening to this and you have cognitive problems, then certainly being able to write things down and recall them is most helpful. As you know, there's no easy way of compensating for the cognitive difficulties that you might be having. However, we do know through research that it is possible to learn skills that will help you feel more positive about your cognitive challenges. Tonight is just the beginning of this road. There is no one way or right way to compensate for problems, and I will try and present a variety of methods and techniques to try for each of the different issues we'll address. You will have to try different techniques for yourself to see which ones work best for you. Don't give up after the first try. Changing a behavior takes time and practice. It may also be helpful to include those who you interact with daily. Tell them what you are trying to do and tell them how they might help you. Maybe even having a discussion with family members and including children, adolescents, parents, grandparents, whoever is in your life, coworkers. Although you are the individual with the cognitive changes, having others be a part of the process is most helpful. And remember, they are also impacted by the issues you're dealing with. As many of you know, your cognitive skills may also fluctuate depending on other symptoms and other issues. When you're tired, stressed, or depressed, you may find your thinking and clarity is slower. You don't remember things as well. You can't find the words for something. Even some medications may impact your cognitive capacity. Additionally, it's also important not to ascribe all of your cognitive issues to MS. All of us don't think as fast when we're tired or depressed or stressed. So it's equally important to address these other issues. Finding ways to manage stress, fatigue, or depression is very important. Also, talk to your doctor honestly about these issues and find resources to help. We'll have time for questions at the end, so write them down so you don't forget them. I'd now like to turn to our first module. Each module is structured in three parts. Part one talks about the challenge itself. This describes the cognitive issue that you may be experiencing. Part two are the strategies. This presents several strategies and techniques that might assist you. And part three are activities, different games and tasks that help put the strategies into action. Tonight, we won't be able to do this last section, these activities, in our teleconference, but you have these activities in your materials and are encouraged to do them during the next few weeks. And I'll review some of them with you as we go along. Now, take a moment to turn to your first module, which is on attention, concentration, and focus. And please take time to turn to page 9 of your packet. So this is on attention, also concentration and focus. So the challenge when we discuss attention, we're actually talking about several different skills. Being able to attend well to a task assists us in remembering, in multitasking, and to be engaged in one activity for an extended period of time. Let's look at page 9, the challenge. As it says, life is filled with distractions. Our minds are constantly wandering. We're trying to think and remember of many things, and we're distracted by lots of different things. Our cell phones, our TVs and radios, the internet, and even our family and friends. For these reasons, you may find it difficult to focus. You may lose your concentration or your train of thought, and this is not uncommon. There are different types of attention that may be affected by MS, and it's important to note that an individual may experience distractions or lack of focus with just one of these or several of them. So I wanted to look at these different types of attention that we all have. The first one is called selective attention. And this is the ability to maintain concentration when there are competing distractions. So for instance, when you are sitting at a dinner table and there are multiple people talking in different conversations, or you might be sitting at a work meeting and different people are talking before the meeting starts, or there might be small groups going on at the same time. So this is when things are competing for your attention. Then there is something called alternating attention, and this is the ability to alternate or shift your attention between two or more tasks. So an example is working, answering phones, and shifting from typing something to answering a phone, and then back to typing something after you're done with the phone call. You might go back to typing and forget where you were or what you were doing. Another one is called sustained attention. And this is the ability to maintain your concentration for a period of time. So being able to read a book or being able to just focus on a task for a sustained period of time. And the last type of attention is divided attention. This is your ability to respond simultaneously to multiple tasks or demands that are going on. And a very good example of this is being driving a car, listening to the radio, or carrying on a conversation while you're driving the car at the same time. So if you look at these, each one of them has a different issue that you're dealing with. Competing distractions, two or more tasks that you're doing and shifting between, maintaining your concentration, or responding simultaneously to tasks. Now I want to move on to the strategies. So while it's easy to become distracted and lose your concentration, there are ways that you can improve your ability to attend to a task. The very first thing is to become aware of what distracts you, recognizing when your mind drifts and what's causing that. When you notice yourself, your mind drifting next time, stop for a minute and recognize what's happening around you. Are there movements? Did something happen? Are there noises? Did somebody come into the room? What are you feeling? Are you hungry, thirsty, hot, cold, tired, in pain, those kinds of things? And how many thoughts are running through your mind? As I mentioned earlier, we oftentimes are thinking about multiple things at the same time, and that certainly will distract you. And then how many things are you doing at the same time? Are you talking and writing? Are you watching TV and doing something else? And if you can, it's best to take a moment and write down these thoughts. What were you doing? What was happening? How were you feeling? Because that will give you a record that you can then go back to and look over time and see if there are particular things that really cause distractions for you or cause you to lose your attention. Now, it may seem obvious, but we need our focus and attention in order to complete a task. If you become distracted, your attention is diverted away from the task, making it difficult to complete it, especially if you can't remember exactly what it was you were doing when you go back to it. So we need to identify what distracts you and determine the ideal environment for you to work at your best. Strategies here that we're going to go over are those to help you to gain focus, and those strategies then can help you to maintain your focus, and those strategies that can help you to regain your focus. So it's helpful also to figure out for yourself, is one of these the areas you need most work in? Do you need to gain focus when you're starting a task? Do you need to be able to maintain focus when you're in a task? Or do you need more to work on regaining focus when you lose attention to a task? And it may be multiple ones. So let's look at some of the strategies on page 11. So to gain focus, one of the most important things is to limit your noise distractions. Our environments are filled with lots of different noises and lots of things going on around us. So try and minimize interruptions in the environment. Okay, create a quiet space, one that's free from noise. Tell your friends, your coworkers, your family that you need quiet time to concentrate right now. Make sure the radio is turned off or the TV. Background noises can be very, very disruptive to us. If you cannot find a quiet place, you're in a busy office, you have a small living arrangement, then buy earplugs. They're very inexpensive. You can get them at most stores, grocery stores. If those don't work, wear a pair of headphones and have some what we call white noise, the sound of the ocean or birds or, you know, very quiet music. Those can all be worn to help reduce your distractions from your environment. So that's one strategy. Another strategy that helps to eliminate maybe some of the distractions that you'll be hearing. Another one is to eliminate visual distractions. If you're at a desk, make sure it's not cluttered. Try and keep it as neat and clean as you can, only having the items that you need to work on for that project on your desk at that time. So you remove unnecessary items from your workspace. And again, if you can try and work in an environment that's not going to be distracting, not looking out the window, no TVs on again, making sure the lighting is appropriate as well. Another strategy is to minimize your personal distractions. When you're hungry or thirsty, you aren't focusing as well because all you're thinking about is trying to think about what you want to eat or having, you know, or getting something to drink. So it's very important to minimize those. Being comfortable is very important. If you're uncomfortable, you will focus on the discomfort rather than the task you want to complete. So making sure the room is at a good temperature, the lighting is good, your clothing is comfortable, the chair is comfortable, whatever it is. Once you start being uncomfortable, your mind will go right to that area. And the last thing for gaining focus is being able to control distracting thoughts. Now, that sounds very easy, but what I like to do is keep a pen and a pad of paper next to me so that when something pops into my mind, I can jot that down, and then I know that I have something that I won't forget. I can look at it later on and come back to that. It captures those important thoughts. So those are some strategies that you might try to gain focus or gain attention. Now let's move on to strategies that can help you focus all the way through a task. The first one is staying active in a conversation. If you're engaged in a conversation, we oftentimes might find our minds wandering. But if you say every once in a while, inject a response, really? Oh, I see. Or tell me more. Oh, that's very interesting. Those kinds of things will help you to stay engaged in the conversation and stop your mind from wandering off to something else. Another very important tool is to manage your fatigue. Pace yourself. Allow time to complete projects and include time for breaks. We humans are very poor, a lot of us, at trying to figure out how long something is going to take us. Usually it takes us about 1.5 to 2 times more to complete a project than we originally think. So make sure you plan that extra time in. And if you get done earlier, then you have some extra time in your day. Plan tasks during the times when your energy is best, especially if fatigue is a problem for you, then trying to do it at a different time is much easier when you're more energetic. And then organize tasks. Make a plan before you begin. Make a list of what you need to do to complete the task and complete each step before you go on to the next one and check off each step as you go along. This will give you a great sense of accomplishment. You may feel like it's going to take longer for you to do the list and spell everything out than it will to complete the task, but this will help you stay focused quite easily. And finally, sometimes when you'll feel your mind is wandering or you feel overwhelmed, distractions are inevitable. So you want to help regain your focus. One thing that's very important is being able to change the activity or give your brain a rest. If you're focused on something for very long, after a while, our brain just kind of stops wanting to focus on that. So get up, get a drink, change the routine for a minute, turn your attention away from the task just for a brief minute. This will allow you to refocus and be able to come back to the task at a more refreshed and able to look at it again. Another very important thing, relax and breathe. Even a minute of meditation can help you to refocus and re-energize. Closing your eyes, visualize a place you enjoy. Close your eyes and slowly count to 20 or 10 or 100. And then sometimes taking 2 or 3 really slow, deep breaths can help you to relax and refocus again. Some of the activities, we'll turn to some of the activities. In your activities section, there are several different tasks to complete. These are fun, and all the materials that are in these activities you can easily find. And it's fun to enroll others, family members, coworkers, friends, to engage in these activities with you. They actually might even learn a thing or two about maintaining their own attention. we provided an article for you. You can use that for the activity on page 16 or for other activities that are in here. So you'll see on page 15, there's activities for that selective attention. There's activities for sustained attention on page 16. I'm sorry about that, 15 and 16. You can read the article and focus on the words it, was, and the. Activities for alternating attention with two different magazine articles going from one to the other. And then for divided attention, dividing yourself and doing two things at once. So these are very good activities to try and work on for helping you learn new skills for your attention and concentration. I now want to move on to the second module, and that is memory. So the challenge is memory is a complex issue, and it's a complex series of steps that we must perform in order to be able to remember. There are also several different types of memory, and you may find that you're able to remember names and dates, but you can't remember what you needed to do today or what you did yesterday. We'll explore these different types of memory as well. But first, I want to talk about what is memory. In order to remember, we must first attend to this information that we want to remember. We do this through our senses. We get information through our sight or visual means. We get information by hearing or oral means, and we get information by touch or tactile means. So all of those senses need to be fully engaged and fully capable in order to be able to get information clearly and correctly. Once we've received the information, we must store it. And then when we want to use the information in some way, we want to tell it to someone, we want to act on it, this is what we often call recall, we must be able to retrieve this information from where it's stored. With MS, studies have identified that individuals with MS have the most difficulty in the area of recalling the information. This means that it's getting in fine and it's stored well, but the slowdown occurs when you're trying to recall the information. And there are different strategies that can help in this area. Now I want to look at different types of memory, which are described on page 25 of your manual. So here we talk about the challenge. There are many types of memory, or there's three types of memory. The first one is called procedural memory. This is our ability to learn and perform activities and tasks. Things you're learning a new skill, riding a bike, swimming, those kinds of things. And these are generally tasks that are overlearned and they become automatic over time. You don't have to think about how do I swim anymore or how do I ride a bike. You know how to do that and you don't have to think about it. This is the least likely to be affected by MS. There's another type called declarative memory. This is the ability to learn facts and information. This includes general facts and concepts that we learn from sources like books, TV, internet, those kinds of things. And also, declarative memory is about recollection of personal time, events, places and experiences, what you did on your last vacation, what you did for your birthday, those kinds of things. And then there's prospective memory. This is remembering what needs to be done, such as appointments and projects. Prospective memory is usually the most affected by MS, but it's also the most improved by using different strategies. So again, trying to look at your own memory problems and think about where do you find you have the most difficulty. Let's look at the strategies now for the different types of memory. So you need to be aware of what your challenges are so that you can identify the correct strategies. There are ways that we identify information, as I said. We recall it and we recognize it. Recall is the generation of information directly from memory, which is where people with MS have the most difficulty. Recognition, however, is the process of identifying information from memory through clues. And that's why I say it's the most able to be helped by strategies. For many people with MS, the information is there. The challenge is accessing it. So for this reason, recognition can be easier than recalling information. Recognition is immediate and provides clues to access the information. So, for example, it might be harder to recall the names of the first two U.S. presidents than to recognize them from a list. Recognizing an answer from a list of options provides clues to the information you're trying to retrieve. Involving others can often assist with recognition and recall. When describing an object, person, or thought to another individual, you may perform the recall or provide you a list of options. For example, if you cannot remember the name of a fruit, you can describe it. It's red or green. It grows in an orchard, and it's great in pies. Chances are the other person will respond, oh, that's an apple or a peach or something else. So what you're asking for in this case is other people to be able to help you with by providing them clues. So here are some strategies to help you with recalling memory. One is descriptions. As I said earlier, when trying to remember a word, describe everything you know about it. This will enable the listener to aid in your recall. We all experience this tip of the tongue phenomena of not being able to remember a word. So also, don't be embarrassed by it, because we all experience this. But by either just going on and not trying to remember the word or describing it, the other person will get the context that you're trying, the word you're trying to say. Sometimes synonyms use a similar word to remind yourself of the word you're trying to recall. Or a sound-like word, a sound or syllable can recall. It begins with the letter A. Talk it through to help your recall. And then finally, what we call closure. Use it at the end of a sentence. For example, we sweep with a broom. Those are some of the techniques to be able to use if you're having difficulty recalling a word. When you want to remember new information, we use all of our senses. So in order to store new information and increase the likelihood it's stored long-term, use these following strategies to aid in memory storage. The more ways that we can get information in, the easier it is going to be able to recall it by one of these other strategies. These strategies emphasize the use of your senses and organize information into manageable amounts. So some of these strategies to aid in your memory storage include, one, repetition and self-talk. Repeat words in your head or out loud. Repetition facilitates memory retention. Do it for increasingly longer time gaps. First, every minute, then maybe after 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, then 20, etc. Repeated access to the information over time will help you with long-term storage. Visualization and imagery. Some people find this very easy to do, and other people just don't. So again, you want to try different strategies and see which works for you. You want to think about an image you see when you hear a word or when you're trying to remember a task or to do something. Visualize the color, the shape, the material. This helps to retain a word by using sensory storage. I also like to use this strategy when I'm trying to remember something that I want to do, or oftentimes I use this when I'm in bed and I remember that I need to do something in the morning before I leave for work. I'll make a picture of it in my head so that when I wake up in the morning, that picture is there. So if I want to remember to take my laptop to work with me, I'll visualize myself getting my laptop, putting it in my bag, and walking out the door. And almost always, the next morning, I remember my laptop. Rhyming can be helpful, too, if you're good at that. Some of us are and some of us aren't. Use simple rhymes to create an easy way to remember things. So, for example, if you want to remember the name Mary, think of Mary, Mary, quite contrary, or Mary and Harry. Paraphrasing, use your own words to remember what was said. This helps you take ownership of the information. And it's more likely to be remembered if you put it in your own words instead of memorizing what someone else has said or someone else's words. Another strategy is what we call the key elements. This is very useful when you're trying to remember, you've been reading a book and you're trying to remember the progression as you stop what happened previously, or a meeting, or other kinds of things that you can summarize the main points or the main details. Identifying the main points becomes easier to remember the concepts. So if you can summarize it again in your own words in a single sentence or a single statement, thinking about newspaper headlines, that will help you to remember it. Focus on the key elements. I like to suggest that you use a post-it note and write down what were the key elements in the chapter you just finished reading, and then use that as a bookmark. So when you go back to start the next chapter, you can look at what you just finished, what you wrote down about the key elements. That will help you recall them, and then you're ready to go on to the chapter that you want to read now. Prioritizing is also very important. So if you want to determine which thoughts or tasks are more important, make a list and assign a number to each, and this can help you organize your thoughts and tasks and minimize overwhelming yourself with too much information. Chunking or grouping information is very good. So, for example, we like to group like elements together. So if you're doing a grocery list, chunk all the vegetables together, all the frozen foods together, all the dairy items together, instead of having them scattered all over the page. This will also aid you probably in your grocery shopping, because most of the time, like items are clunked together in your grocery store as well. Air tracing, if you can trace words in the air, if it's not possible to do it, you don't have paper, or even tracing it on your other hand or on a table, so it doesn't have to be in the air. That enlists your visual sense as well as your tactile sense. And then the last area here is called story recall. Recall elements by using a story format. Make up a story about something that you're trying to remember. It can be a funny story or a serious story. You'll remember it better if it's funny. But sometimes taking elements and putting them together in a story can be very creative. I knew somebody who, if you're going on a trip, you can make up a story about first I'm going to, you know, Vienna to see whoever, and then I'm going to London to see the Queen. So make up a funny story about it, and that will be able to remember it a little easier. With these strategies, you need to practice using the techniques and learn what works best for you. Not all of these strategies are going to be helpful for you. You may find some more difficult. You may not be good at visualization, but you're very good at tactile or oral things. So find the techniques that work best for you. Try several of them out. Try them out more than once, because you have to practice things to figure out what works for you. Let's go move on to some of the activities. We provided you with a word list of unrelated words, and you can use that for the activity of unrelated word list recall, which is on page 31. And this is a way to help you group items together. For that, helping you to figure out unique ways of clumping things together and be organized. There is the story recall activity where you can use the article again to help you with this. And here you are going to read the news clip aloud. Have somebody read the news clip aloud. You're going to take notes, jotting down the key elements of the story, and then you're going to put your notes out of sight, and you're going to recall what the story was about. Okay? And at the, you'll notice that each of these, there's something in bold at the bottom to help you think about, is this working for you or not, and gives you more tips. Meet and greet is helpful if you're having difficulty remembering names and faces. So you can take pictures of unknown people from magazines and, you know, try and learn how to remember people's names by looking at features that they have. Repeating it back to them, that's the best thing when you meet somebody for the first time. Repeat their name back to them and then kind of repeat it a few times in your mind. The grocery shopping activity is to help you have somebody take recipes, mix up all the ingredients, write them down on a list, and then you want to help group those ingredients together so that it helps you to remember grouping, learning how to group them. Direction recall. So again, using a recipe and how to prepare a dish and helping you to remember a list of steps that you can use again. So those are some really challenging and fun activities to do to help you with memory. And what I'm now going to do now is move on to the last module of executive skills. So if we turn to page 43 of your materials, let's talk about the challenge. Executive skills are like the executives of a company. They oversee and monitor all aspects in each department in order to be productive and efficient. They act in the same way as guiding and monitoring our problem solving, our planning and organization, our self-awareness, and the order or sequence of an activity in order to be productive and efficient with our thoughts. We rely on these executive skills in almost everything we do as we plan and make decisions. Research has shown that people with MS may find thinking through complex problems more challenging, and as a result, often feel overwhelmed and confused by too much information. When organizing and sequencing is a challenge, it's easy to lose your train of thought. This interruption can impact the ability to plan, remember how to perform a task, or make a judgment call. As a result, daily activities become very hard to accomplish or are left undone. So the strategies for this is organization. When organization is implemented, you become more efficient and reduce the risk of feeling overwhelmed. And you want to organize both your environment and your thoughts. So organizing your environment, similar to what we were talking about for attention, you want to be able to look at your environment and help it, make it so that it helps to organize you. You want to be able to consider ways of tracking your everyday task. Make a to-do list and prioritize it, and check off things as you complete them. Create a reminder system or a whiteboard to indicate important information. Sometimes a sticky notepad on your bathroom mirror when you wake up in the morning, or a dry erase board in a place in the house everybody can see it to help you remember daily things. The use of calendars, smartphones, computer program calendars is very, very important, but you need to be able to use them consistently and keep them with you or in the same place. It doesn't help to have three calendars in three different rooms. Everything should be together in one place and someplace you can access wherever you go. Consider keeping separate folders for different things and making them different colors. So medical issues, taxes, mortgage, bills, those kinds of things. Keep documents in the same general area. Pay your monthly bills in the same box, put your monthly bills in the same box or the same place so you don't hunt them down. There's always, so when you get the mail, throw the junk mail out right away and just keep what you need. Designate a certain day of the month as bill paying day so you don't forget. And keep a spot for your keys, your purse, your phone, and put them there, the same place every day. You can also organize your ideas before entering a conversation or starting a task by thinking about the steps before proceeding. A simple, fast method to consider is this method of mapping. I find this very, very useful, and I've had many of my clients find it useful too. So with mapping, you write the main goal or topic in the center, and then the spokes are the different ideas. So the example that's given here is somebody planning a summer vacation. So that's in the middle. And the steps that they needed to do was, number one, they need to purchase their airline tickets. Number two, they want to ask a friend to take care of their pets. That's on the left-hand side, probably about the number eight. Number three, which is where the 2 o'clock time would be, is they want to make hotel reservations. Then 2 weeks before the trip, they want to identify what to see and then plan their itinerary and then decide what to pack. So this gives you a really great visual. So mapping is a really great visual, if you're a visual person, way of helping you with organizing and planning complex tasks. Other things on page 47, you can have visualization, which I have talked about before, visualizing your thoughts before you speak or visualizing you're doing a task before you start it. This works for people who are very visual people. Chunking or grouping things together is also a way of organizing lengthy lists or scattered thoughts. Counting. So count as you present your thoughts or concepts silently on your fingers. This will help you to stay on track. And awareness. Stop and ask yourself if you're still on topic or if you've gone off tangent elsewhere. So when you're talking about something, stop and think every once in a while, am I still where I on the topic I wanted to be on? And finally, preparation. Try to review a daily schedule in advance. Dedicate a few moments each day to look and plan your day. It's really important. The more organized you can be in those ways, the better off you'll be. The other area things that aren't on here, I like to suggest delegating. If it's not something you have to do and you can delegate it to somebody else, do that. I think people all feel we have to do everything that we used to do, but we don't. And it's very helpful to delegate tasks that you can. Also, simplify tasks. Look at how you're doing a task. Is it done in a very complex way, or is it something that you can do much, much easier? And then finally, the activities for this are here. So one is doing a mapping of planning a party. So this is a great activity to help you understand how to do mapping. So you can think about a party that you may be planning now, or just the party you want to plan, or maybe just anything. But it helps you to organize your thoughts and makes you easier to prioritize. Here's an activity called What's for Dinner, which helps with chunking. You want to think about a three-course meal. What three dishes would you make? A salad, a main dish, and dessert. And then you want to create lists that are going to help you with planning this dinner party. Involving others in the planning process is helpful as well. So this gives you an opportunity to do that. If you have to do a presentation, this one on page 53 is helpful in terms of helping you to organize how you would do that. And then also mapping an article, which can help you with, again, the understanding and remembering of what that article is about. And then the last one is decision making, where you can have an example of trying to make a decision between two choices, and how writing down the pros and the cons, and then looking at all the options and developing different scenarios to help you identify which option would be the best. I really strongly recommend that you do those on your own. So, in conclusion, I hope that you found this teleconference and the materials helpful. Learning new strategies may feel uncomfortable and difficult, but you can do it. Practice and practice, and trial and error will help. Be kind to yourself when you forget or you're having a hard time. Take care of yourself. Reduce your stress. Get enough rest and ask others to take the road with you. Maybe they will learn new strategies as well that will help them. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you. Operator, can we please open the line to questions?
Sure. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number one key on your phone. Our first question comes from Renee. Renee, please go ahead.
Thank you for all of the wisdom that you imparted on us today. I find that a lot of the things that you suggested, I already do. My husband kind of calls me a little OCD. I can't start a task on the computer until I have the whole computer area cleaned. I couldn't cook until the kitchen was cleaned. And I now understand that was part of the clutter in my mind. I have not received the materials, so I would like to learn more about some of the other resources. Would you suggest things like Sudoku or some of the apps that they have online to also help with cog fog and memory skills? Or would you suggest these other things that you have in the packet that I'll receive at a later date? Thank you.
Renee, that's a great question. Many, many people ask about these brain games and memory strategies and puzzles and those kinds of things. And the evidence is really mixed on them. We have seen that they do make a great difference for people who are older in terms of memory, but we haven't seen as strong a support for them for people who have MS. However, they don't hurt. And so, you know, they're fun. And if you enjoy doing them, I encourage people to do memory games, do Sudoku, do things that challenge you. It's not going to hurt. And hopefully you will get the rest of the information in the packets. And the MS Society, their website, they have several of resources on there around cognitive challenges that you can also access for free right on their website.
Our next question comes from Kathleen. Kathleen, please go ahead.
Yes, my only question was I, you know, started this teleconference listening to the whole thing. I don't have any of the materials. I wasn't aware that there were materials, and I was just wondering if I was going to be receiving them as well.
I can speak to that. I would recommend that you contact your local chapter, and they can send you the materials.
Our next question comes from Betty. Betty, please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this, for the information that you've provided. I did receive all the paperwork, and I went through it prior to this call. My question is this. We're in a fast-paced world, and especially for me at work, there's a lot of times that I get lost with the cog fog when information is being given, and I'm, like, in the middle of processing the information, but then the person's already moved on if I'm in a meeting or something, so a lot gets lost. And even though I ask, and they do go back and repeat, but it still doesn't compute to me. Even when I use these, you know, the suggestions that are in the packet, mm-hmm. I'm wondering what else can be done, mm-hmm. what else I can do.
Yeah, that's a great question also, Betty. You're right. We are in a fast-paced world, and everybody is running around and giving you information and directions and running off and to do their own thing. several strategies. I don't know if you have disclosed at work, and that's always a difficult decision to make. But if you can ask for an agenda beforehand, that can be helpful because, again, that might be able to give you those clues that you need in order to kind of trigger the memory. If able to, people will, if you can record some of the meetings or part of a meeting, if people will approve of that, then that would be another area that could help you. Sometimes I suggest that people, that if you, if possible, ask somebody to talk slower or repeat something. I know that can be uncomfortable as well. There is no, you know, really easy way of doing that. There is some assistive technology. There are some, a pen, and I can't quite remember the name of it right now. It'll come to me in a minute, where you it records while you're writing. And so that might be a type of assistive technology, and I'm about to find out what name that is. It is called LiveScribe, LiveScribe. You can look it up on the internet. It is a pen that looks like a regular pen, and once you kind of touch it to the paper, it starts recording, and you might find that that's helpful for you.
Our next question comes from Jamila. Jamila, please go ahead. Our next question comes from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Hi, I was going to ask about the material because I didn't receive the material too, but I didn't get the last comment on the pen. I know it started with L-I-Z and then I missed the rest.
Okay, it is live as in alive, L-I-V-E, and then scribe, S-C-R-I-B-E. And you can look at it on, you can find it on the internet. I think they sell it on Amazon, and it can be really useful. I would suggest that if you did not get the materials, contact the office that made, you know, your local MS chapter that you made your reservation through, and they'll send them to you. I'm sorry that happened.
Our next question comes from Rainey. Rainey, please go ahead.
Well, my question was along the lines of the other questions that have been asked. I also didn't get the materials, so, and I understand that some people didn't, and I understand also how we need to go about getting them.
Okay. Yes, and everything that I did talk about is in those materials, so you'll find that all there, all the activities and all the things that I talked about.
Our next question comes from Lisette. Lisette, please go ahead.
Hi. My question, and again, thank you, but my question is about learning. I am trying to finish my degree in school,
mm-hmm.
and one class, a math class, I cannot seem to either, I can't work through it. It's like something it's never been an easy thing for me, but now it seems like it's almost impossible to try to figure out how to work through it.
Yeah, math is something that some people will also have a real hard time with. So some of the things that we suggest, is practice reading and writing long numbers. Math is really a lot of practice. If it's the only class you're taking, then that's great because you don't have to. But using graph paper to help you align numbers and things like that, going to as many office hours as you can, providing yourself with lots of extra time to understand the concepts. Sometimes you might find that having somebody studying with somebody, doing the work with somebody, you might be somebody who needs to have it spoken to you more than once, or maybe have it shown, the operations shown to you a number of times before you can catch on to it. So again, it's experimenting with different strategies to help you figure out what's the best one for you.
Our next question comes from Casey. Casey, please go ahead.
My question had to do with the materials, but that's already been asked, and I answered, I should say, and I appreciate your assistance.
Okay. Thank you, Casey.
Our next question comes from Sima. Sima, please go ahead. Our next question comes from Stephanie. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Hi. The one thing that I have found is that, you know, the game is called Luminosity.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good for memory.
Great.
It's really improved my memory.
Great. Excellent.
And thank you so much, because you were a wealth of information. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yes, Luminosity is one of the ones, brain games. There are many different ones, so I'm glad that that's helped you.
Our next question comes from Jennifer. Jennifer, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I think you've covered a lot of what my question originally was when I registered, but like others on the call, I work in a highly fast-paced environment. I'm a project coordinator. I definitely had skills that, you know, I admitted to when I signed on for this job, but it seems that as things have progressed, my memory, especially my recall, have definitely been impacted. I want to be the employee that I promised them I would be, but I've noticed over the years taking this position that it's definitely taken a lot out of me. I did disclose to my boss and a few others, so, you know, so they could understand why some things were occurring. I just didn't tell everybody because I don't want them to sort of, you know, think that they have to protect me from the work.
Mm-hmm.
I've found use in using OneNote.
Right.
Instead of writing on paper, my handwriting's not the greatest, and oftentimes people speak so quickly I can't process the words in my head and then put them to paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to type them fast enough, and the OneNote can, you know, be sent to the person who may have been leading a meeting and ask them if they can review and make sure I covered it. But they also let me work from home 2 days a week to help with the fatigue. Aside from workarounds like that, is there anything else that, you know, I might be able to do and sort of engage my employer with that could really start turning that switch back on in my head as far as my energy, the appeal of the job, and, you know, retaining the information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really a complex issue. The OneNote can definitely be helpful. You might find that the LiveScribe pen that I was talking about before can also help you because, as I said, it has a recorder in it. And what's nice about that is that it also comes with a special pad of paper you use. And if you write notes and then kind of lose your train of thought, when you go back to your notes, you put the pen at that point where you lost the train of thought and the recorder starts talking from that point. So it can help you kind of get back to the information where you might have lost it. So that might be another thing that you can try doing, you know, asking. They're not expensive, so you can even purchase that yourself. So that might be helpful. I've sometimes found that people have found two computer screens can be helpful because you can have multiple documents up if you're trying to work on two at once as opposed to trying to switch around on one computer screen. So that might be another type of thing that you can do. And I would highly recommend, especially if you're doing a lot of work at the computer, to take multiple breaks in an hour, like 20 minutes at a time, take a break, and then go back and refocus.
Our next question comes from Tammy. Tammy, please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for all the information. Again, I guess my question is similar to the last few callers, but I'm getting more frustrated in social settings. And I've had MS for 11 years, and a lot of my close friends know that, and they know I have cognitive problems, but they all seem to think I'm just losing my keys. So, you know, in the beginning I would try to kind of make light of it, but now I'm just finding myself very frustrated and almost avoiding some of the social settings. And I use a lot of the strategies, actually, mm-hmm. With family and close friends and at work, but I think some of the bigger social settings where people don't know some of my symptoms as closely as other people,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting frustrated. I'm trying to figure out the best way to deal with it, so that I don't lose my temper or completely become a hermit. So.
Right, right. You know, sometimes people have told me that in large social settings, especially when there's lots of distractions and lots of noise going on, trying to pull, if you're in a conversation with somebody, trying to pull them into a quieter environment. And you can even just do that. You don't have to say, you know, I have trouble hearing, you know, I've MS, but, you know, I'm having trouble hearing you. You know, can we move into a quieter area? I'd love to continue the conversation, but, you know, there's so much noise around me. So, you know, it's not that it's the MS, but it's, you know, more that environment that you can kind of blame it on. So that is one strategy. Large social situations are more difficult. So it's really trying to manage that environment in a way that you can have smaller, more focused times with people in those kinds of situations. I always say trying to go to find a restaurant that's not noisy, but that's so impossible these days. But maybe trying, when you're making a reservation, asking for a quiet table if they can, put you someplace quieter. It is okay when you're at a restaurant sometimes to ask if they'll turn the music down. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But those kinds of things restaurants are also able to do and will do at certain times. But that, you know, I would say try not to isolate yourself, because that's not good, you know, and just, you know, kind of do some of those other kinds of strategies. And humor is something that is helpful, too. So keep that up. Don't lose that.
Our next question comes from Jennifer. Jennifer, please go ahead. Our next question comes from Jamila. Jamila, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much. The last time you called my name, my phone was on mute, so I apologize. But I just wanted to say that the information that you shared, that the presenter shared about writing everything down, is very helpful. But I do this as well. But what I found extremely helpful is when I use my phone, and even when I'm at my computer, everything goes to the iCloud. Whether you're using an Android or an iPhone, it really pays to have, like, your devices all sync to one system. So my Microsoft Outlook, when I'm on my computer, plus what I do on my phone, everything goes back to the cloud. Everything lives above my head somewhere. So this way, it really does go back to what you said about writing everything in one place, because they're not like three calendars, like one in every room. So I just wanted to put that out there for everybody. Look up cloud if you're not using it already, and make sure that what you're doing, using to write it down, does sync to one place. So everywhere you go, you can access this information.
Jamila, thank you. That is excellent advice, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I would even add to that if you have significant others that are also using these same kinds of devices, you can share. So you can share your calendar with them, and they can share their calendar with you. And that's also very helpful, because then they can help to maybe remind you have this appointment, or you can see what they're doing at different times too. So I appreciate, Jamila, you mentioning that. The cloud is outstanding, and it does sync everything. It can sync your, as you said, your phone, your computer, with somebody else, and put everything in the same place, so you don't have to think about writing it down in three different places. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Susan. Susan, please go ahead.
Hi. I was diagnosed. I'm sorry if I'm asking this question again, because I got disconnected. So if it's already been asked, forgive me. But I have been diagnosed with ADD. So what is? I mean, you know, I've always been a little attention issues. So I'm wondering, what's MS and is there any kind of difference you're already a little bit distracted?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of times people who have ADD also have cognitive problems, and really the strategies for both are the same, especially around attention. So you may find that the ADD and the MS kind of has exacerbated the ADD symptoms, so that maybe you have more difficulty attending, or you can attend for less amount of time, or you're more distractible. But the same strategies will help you with, you know, with both the ADD and the MS attention issues.
Our next question comes from Alfred. Alfred, please go ahead. Our next question comes from Sharon. Sharon, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. On page 46, when you're talking about the mapping, and I'm looking at this, but the numbers like 1, 2, and 3,
right,
they're all scattered around.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, not an ideal map.
Okay.
Right.
Because I was looking at this, I'm going, this would drive me insane.
Right, right. And I didn't do that example, but I would definitely have put the mapping in, you know, so clockwise position. So I would have put one at the top and then two at the next place and do it around in that way, because that does make the most sense. So you, sometimes you might need to do two or three maps, because maybe this is the initial map where you kind of get everything out there, and then you start to explore, well, which makes sense to go first or second or third. So when you do the map the first time, I wouldn't worry so much about getting it in the right order. I would just worry about getting things down and then doing a second map that maybe has them in a better order, and then looking at that, and maybe you need to do the final map that will have them just in the way you want to do them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Deborah. Deborah, please go ahead.
Hey, I think that's me.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I'm calling about the materials. What happened with me is that when I received an email with a confirmation of my registration, they had attachments, so I printed them out.
Okay.
So that's how I got my materials.
Okay, very good. So if you did not get materials, look at the email that you received confirming your registration and see if they have attachments to those, and they, you may have your materials in those. Thank you very much, Deborah, for pointing that out.
Our next question comes from Megan. Megan, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for all the information you presented. I will support what you said about the LiveScribe. It's a great tool, and it does work. And for the woman who is having trouble with math problems, I struggle with MS as well, and I'm an educator. So if you have questions or want to contact me, feel free. I'm Clarkson, C-L-A-R-K-S-O-N, dot Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at Gmail. And if you need help, I'm more than willing to play with you.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Hi. I did ask a question, but I sort of got lost, you know, telling you about the materials. But one problem that I'm really having is I'll read something, and then I don't remember it, not even like 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I don't know, highlighting or whatever. It's extremely frustrating.
So I would do some of the activities that we were talking about in terms of paraphrasing, writing down key elements, the ones that are on page 29, identifying important details. So reading maybe in smaller chunks to help you with this can be helpful. Another strategy for reading is sometimes to slow down your reading. So taking a piece of paper or your finger and guiding yourself so that you're slowing down your reading can also be a strategy that can help you retain or remember the main points a little bit easier, because we're so used to kind of, when we read, we really don't read every word. We usually kind of scan it quickly, and when cognition isn't a problem, we can kind of get the main points and remember it. But what you want to do maybe is try slowing it down. Another strategy would be to try seeing if you retain more by hearing it, so a book on tape. Or some people have found now that going to an ebook, a Kindle, something like that, or an iPad, where you can make the print larger, that will slow your reading down also. So those would be some of the strategies I would recommend, trying to slow your reading down, summarizing key points more frequently, and keeping them maybe on a post-it note or whatever. So hopefully some of those strategies will help you a little bit better.
Our next question comes from Dion. Dion, please go ahead.
Hi. I'd first like to thank everybody for putting this on. It's been really helpful. My main problem is you actually just talked about the reading and the slowing down. My problem is my processing speed has slowed down now to the point where it's taking me like 8 hours to read a chapter in a book. Do you have any tips on how to kind of speed that up a little?
You know, have you tried doing electronic books or even books on tape? Those might, because, and sometimes what I recommend is a book on tape with the actual text in front of you too, so you're getting it in multiple modes. So you're reading it, you're seeing it, and you're hearing it. Sometimes that's a task that can help you. And then again, chunking it into smaller chunks. So don't try reading for 30 minutes or even 15 minutes. Find a time that gives you, you know, that you can chunk materials and remember it. So read maybe for 10 minutes and then write down the key points and then move on to the next one. Next part. Those kinds of strategies. When the processing speed is slower, it is you have to kind of get it in. I say in more ways. So as I said, reading and having it, hearing it at the same time.
Our next question comes from Patrice. Patrice, please go ahead.
I was wondering in terms of. Well, I've got more than one neurological problem, and I was wondering whether when I'm having physical sensations, I tend to put a lot of my attention at that, which distracts from what I'm actually doing. And I don't know if that's a problem that other people are having or if it's something that's just that I should be compartmentalizing all of this.
Well, as I said earlier, we were talking about attention. When your body, when you're in pain, cold, hungry, thirsty, any of those kinds of physical problems, tingling, they will distract you. It is very difficult to focus on something when, you know, you're uncomfortable. So, again, I would try not to, I don't know what the issues are, but if you can try and do tasks that take up a lot of cognitive energy or time when you're not having those other kinds of symptoms, that would probably be the most efficient thing. Or, you know, if there are things you do to quell those, then you can focus again. But definitely, I think all of us have problems focusing and doing tasks when we're uncomfortable, we're hungry, you know, we're crabby, we're tired, those kinds of things. So I think that's very typical.
Our next question comes from Gina. Gina, please go ahead. Our next question comes from Kathy. Kathy, please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. One of the problems that I have with my memory is that, cognition, is I could be in the middle of a conversation or in the middle of a sentence, and all of a sudden I feel as though my mind goes blank and my thoughts get all jumbled. And what I found interesting is when I was looking at your documents here, I noticed regaining focus. You said relax and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that, and it really does help, although I never thought of it as I had simply lost focus.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, Do you know of anything similar to that? Not just that I lose a thought and I kind of forget to that, but it literally, I feel as though it goes blank. I've heard the term MS fog. I have no idea if that's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, again, in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of a task, I feel as though my brain goes blank. Things, when they come back, which can be within a few seconds to almost a full moment, the thoughts are jumbled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I do notice if I stay calm,
mm-hmm.
that it does come back in order again.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anybody else, or have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of that. And it is a strategy of staying calm and kind of just letting it flow back. I don't know why it happens, but it might be helpful, and it would be interesting for you to kind of, if you can, afterwards, kind of look back on the situation and did something happen? Did something change in the environment? Even something as subtle as the sunlight changing or, you know, a shadow coming into play. It'd be interesting for you to see, or if somebody around you also can kind of be aware of other maybe very subtle things that have happened around you or in your environment that caused you to lose that train of thought momentarily. And maybe there is that you're not even aware of. But it is not uncommon. But again, the idea of just kind of trying to stay calm, even asking the person, you know, I just lost my train of thought, you know, what was I saying? It's fine also. Is again, it's like not being embarrassed about it, because it happens to everybody. It may feel like it happens to you more, but everybody else doesn't know that it's happening to you more.
Our next question comes from Renee. Renee, please go ahead.
Hi. I had a question earlier. I just have so many questions. One of my questions was, while I'm sitting and having conversations with people, I am processing what they're saying. And you spoke earlier about processing, especially with my husband. And I hear what they're saying, and I'm thinking that I'm responding to it, but I don't say something to it, and I just start talking about something else. How could I sit and alleviate this? It's my children also say, Mommy, but you didn't answer me. In my mind, I've answered them, and I'm kind of processing what they're saying, and later on I'll answer what they're saying, but at the moment it's just, I would say it's in the machine and it's working, and then later on I'll say, no, you can't go outside. So how could I work on that one?
I think it is, I love your idea that it's in the machine and it's working, because that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like it is, somebody else had said earlier, it's like kind of process things slower. And I think part of what is important, especially with family members, which you can probably, you know, who know you have MS, is say, Mommy needs time to process, or I need to take a little time before I can answer that. And have your family understand that that is what you need. I don't think there's a way that you can really speed it up, because it is the slow, there is some slowing of that. It is the processing speed. It is your brain working a little slower to listen, incorporate it all, and then get the answer out. So I don't know that I've helped you, but it's really explaining to family members, yes, I'll get back to you in a minute on that, as I'm thinking about it. I need to think on that, is really the best response.
There are no further questions in queue.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. I hope everyone enjoyed the call tonight, and I do want to apologize that some of you did not receive your materials. Please do not hesitate to contact your local chapter if you can't find them in your email in an attachment, and they should be very happy to send the materials to you. I'd also love if everyone could please stay on the line to answer 5 quick questions about this program. Your input helps us to better meet your needs in the future. Operator?
Thank you. Our first polling question is, as a result of participating in this teleconference, I learned at least one new thing about cognitive issues people with MS face. For agree, press 1. For disagree, press 2. And for no opinion, press 3. One moment, please, while I tally the results. Our next polling question. As a result of participating in this teleconference, I learned at least one new thing about utilizing cognitive strategies. For agree, press 1. For disagree, press 2. And for no opinion, press 3. One moment, please, while I tally the results. Our third polling question. As a result of participating in this teleconference, I feel encouraged by the information to make at least one positive change in the way I manage my MS. For agree, press 1. For disagree, press 2. For no opinion, press 3. One moment, please, while I tally the results. Our next polling question. As a result of this teleconference, I learned some things about MS that I want to discuss with a healthcare provider. For agree, press 1. For disagree, press 2. And for no opinion, press 3. Again, that question is, I learned some things about MS that I want to discuss with the healthcare provider. 1 for agree, 2 for disagree, and for 3, no opinion. One moment, please, while I tell you the results. And our final polling question. As a result of participating in this teleconference, I enjoy learning through a teleconference format and am more likely to register for other teleconferences. For agree, press 1. For disagree, press 2. And for no opinion, press 3. Again, our final polling question. I enjoy learning through a teleconference format and am more likely to register for other teleconferences. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes our polling session. And this concludes our conference. You may now all disconnect.